I am Neo. Welcome into the Skeptic Arena. Today is February 12th, 2012. The website is theskepticarena.com. I received the following email. My responses follow each of their comments. This reply was then forwarded to all those on the CC list. I'm sure they enjoyed it, almost as much as I did. The email begins, "Where are the girlfriends?" I hadn't thought about this, but where are Obama's past girlfriends? Dude, it doesn't bother me that you hadn't thought about that before. What bothers me more is that your life is so empty that you would think about it now. I have much more important things to think about. Apparently, you don't. He said, surely he had at least one. Dude, who knows? And why would you even care? He said, no past girlfriends popping up anywhere? Strange. Strange to the point of being downright weird. Dude, I can see how that would be strange and weird to a Yahoo ultra-conservative. Or, yuck. Far-right wing nuts are always either trying to explain away adultery or trying to cover up their weekend excursions with their cabana boys. He said, okay, this is just plain old common sense. No public agendas for either side. Dude, you can't write a sentence that doesn't expose your obsession with your political agenda, so you are starting right off with a lie. If there is one thing I can give you yucks credit for, it's consistency. He said, just common knowledge for citizens of a country, especially American citizens, who know every little tidbit about every other president and their wives. Dude, are you serious? 18% of Americans still think the sun orbits the earth. Over half of Americans still believe that humans were materialized from magic mud by an invisible man. Most can't find Chicago on a map. And evangelicals can't find Chicago on a map even when the name is printed on the map. And you want us to believe they know every little tidbit about past presidents? I'll tell you what Americans do know every little tidbit about. Ask them any question about popular bands or drugs, and they won't miss a single one. He said, who even know that Andrew Jackson's wife smoked a corncob pipe? Big deal, dude. Clinton's intern smoked his pipe. And he adds, and Andrew Jackson's wife was accused of adultery. Dude, evangelical nutbags try to convince us that our nation was founded on the Ten Commandments, which is real interesting since God considered adultery a capital offense, while our founding fathers didn't even consider it a misdemeanor. Today, it isn't even a crime. Maybe that's why adultery is now the national pastime for congressmen of both parties. From Anthony See My Erection Wiener to that paragon of Christian virtue, Newt Gingrich, most of these guys can't resist inserting Little Willie into the furry cave. And when we find one who does resist, saps like you write emails like this piece of slop. He continues, or that Lincoln never went to school. Dude, then it sounds like he may have had something in common with evangelicals. Most of them now homeschool their broods to keep them as pig ignorant as possible about science, history, and other religions. He said, or Kennedy wore a back brace, or Truman played the piano. Dude, so now you're saying Truman was gay? Then he said, we are Americans. Dude, that's what embarrasses the hell out of the rest of us. We have to explain to the rest of the world why in the richest and most powerful nation on earth, half our population believes in snake oil like acupuncture, chiropractic, and psychics, but deny established, provable science like human-induced global warming. Hell, the only thing that keeps our national IQ from dipping down into the double digits is illegal immigration. He said, our media vets these things out. Dude, you must live in a shoebox. He said, we are known for our humanitarian interests and caring for our fellow man. Dude, you are a yuck. How in the world do you figure that any of that describes you? He said, we care, but none of us know one single humanizing fact about the history of our own president. Honestly, and this is a personal thing. Dude, when people start off with, honestly, the chances are slim to none that you are going to get anything but. He said, but it's bugged me for years that no one who ever dated him ever showed up. Dude, what is it with you evangelicals and everyone else's private sex lives? You people are perverted and nosy. Really, really, really nosy. Dude, get help. He said, taking his charisma, which caused the women to be drawn to him so obviously during his campaign, looks like some lady would not have missed the opportunity. Dude, that shouldn't be a surprise considering that his competition was a 72-year-old geezer whose good looks and charisma vanished in the previous century. He said, we all know about JFK's magnetism. Dude, so now you refer to adultery as magnetism? He said, McCain was no monk. Dude, you're talking about ancient history, and I do mean ancient. I've got $50 that says a bottle of Viagra couldn't get McCain into an arrest situation. Now, he said, Palin's courtship and even her athletic prowess were probed. Dude, her mind was also probed. The results came back cleaner than a Mormon at a sobriety checkpoint. He said, Biden's aneurysms are no secret. Dude, Biden is the only vice president in history who actually made Dan Quayle look smart. When Biden and Palin debated in 2008, there weren't 100 IQ points on that stage. And dude, they were evenly matched. Now he says, look at Cheney and Clinton. We all know about their heart problems. Dude, you are one nosy, gossipy little yuck. This is like reading a teenager's diary on Facebook. He said, how could I have left out Wild Bill before or during the White House? Dude, I know that dude. And then I provided a link for him to wildbillforamerica.com. Isn't that guy like your national hero or something? Now he continues, nope, not one lady has stepped up and said, he was so shy, or what a great dancer. And that is just killing you, isn't it, dude? You just have to have that prying little evangelical nose of yours into everyone's personal business. Now he said, now look at the rest of what we know. No classmates, not even the recorder for the Columbia class notes ever heard of him. Who was the best man at his wedding? Dude, let me guess. Howard Stern? He said, check for groomsmen. Then get the footage of the graduation ceremony. Has anyone talked to the professors? Isn't it odd that no one is bragging that they knew him or taught him or lived with him? When did he meet Michelle and how? Are there photos? Every president provides the public with all their photos for their library. Dude, the library thing comes after they leave office. You should know that since your Ronald Reagan library card is about to expire soon. Now he asks, what has he released? Nada, other than what was in this so-called biography. Dude, so biographies don't count? Is it because it is only a so-called biography as opposed to a real biography? So why don't biographies count? He continues, and experts who study writing styles claim it was not O's own words, or typical of his speech patterns. Dude, you should at least show some respect. It is President O. Now he asks, does this make any of you wonder? Well, dude, it does make me wonder how an anal retentive, nosy little puss bag like you can get people to actually read the crap you write. But I read it. So, one, I guess there are many reasons why someone might get roped into wasting their time with it. And two, I feel so violated. Now, he said, ever wonder why no one ever came forward from Obama's past saying they knew him, attended school with him, was his friend, etc.? Dude, you're starting to sound like a broken record. Based on what I've read so far, I think I've figured out the real problem here. The American people put a nigger in the White House, and that is just peeling the paint off your motorhome down at the trailer park. Now, he said, not one person has ever come forward from his past. This should really be a cause for great concern. Dude, his wife and kids were in his past. His other family members were in his past. Oh, my mistake. Most of them are black people, aren't they? You mean real people, don't you? You know, white people. Now, he asks, did you see the movie titled The Manchurian Candidate? Dude, did you see Harry Potter? No, of course not. If Jesus caught you in a theater at a Harry Potter movie, he might bring back stoning. Just for you. Now, he said, let's face it. As insignificant as we all are, dude, after reading this email, I couldn't agree with you more. At least in your case. He said, someone whom we went to school with remembers our name or face. Someone remembers we were the clown. Dude, you still are. Continuing, or the dork, or the brain, or the quiet one, or the bully, or something about us. Dude, you didn't have to go past the first one. The dork. He continues, George Stephanopoulos, ABC News, said the same thing during the 2008 campaign. Even George questions why no one has acknowledged that the president was in their classroom or ate in the same cafeteria or made impromptu speeches on campus. Well, dude, then I guess no one would have remembered me either. I never made an impromptu speech on campus, nor did I ever even make a promptu speech on campus. He continues, Stephanopoulos was a classmate of Obama at Columbia, class of 1984. He says he never had a single class with him. Dude, Columbia has over 27,000 students. At least 26,000 students could make that same statement. You've never been to college, have you, dude? Now, he says, since he is such a great orator, why doesn't anyone in Obama's college class remember him? Dude, now I know you've never been to college. Anyone who has would know that it's probably because most of them were either drunk or stoned most of the time. Now, he asks, and why won't he allow Columbia to release his records? Dude, if Obama didn't allow Columbia to release his records, how was he able to get a job after graduation? Now, he asks, do you, like millions of others, simply assume all this is explainable, even though no one can? Dude, you can say exactly the same thing about your Bible, so you have answered your own question. Now, he says, nobody remembers Obama at Columbia. Dude, yet Columbia remembers him because they list him as a graduate. And in the Word document associated with this podcast, I include a link to Columbia University. Dude, Wikipedia is free, so you can't use cost as an excuse. What you are is one clueless bigot who is too lazy to do his research. That is why dipsticks like you are a joke. That is why you and your little band of rejects operate at the fringe of society. But even the kooks and freaks at the fringe won't have anything to do with morons like you. That should tell you something. Now, he says, looking for evidence of Obama's past, Fox News contacted 400 Columbia University students from the period when Obama claims to have been there, but not one remembers him. Dude, that only tells you that Fox News doesn't even possess minimal investigative skills. but many of us already had that figured out. Now he says, for example, Wayne Allen Root was, like Obama, a political science major at Columbia who graduated in 1983. In 2008, Root says of Obama, I don't know a single person at Columbia that knew him, and they all know me. Dude, if 20,000 students all knew this guy, then there could be only one conclusion. He was their drug dealer. Or he had a passkey to the local Budweiser plant. Continuing, I don't have a single classmate who ever knew Barack Obama at Columbia, ever. Nobody recalls him. Dude, you can't even imagine how badly I wished I could say that about you. Continuing, Root adds that he was class of 1983 political science pre-law and says, you don't get any more exact or closer than that. Never met him in my life. Don't know anyone who ever met him. Dude, it sounds like this Root guy is the one you should be concerned about. Let's examine the honesty of Root's claim for a moment. Root stated that he doesn't know anyone who has ever met Obama. Yet, Root attended the same school as Obama, took similar classes, became a radio personality and political commentator, and ran against Obama for president in 2008, and yet claims he has never known anyone who has ever met Obama. You have to be the most gullible pack of morons on the planet. He continues, at our 20th class reunion 5 years ago, who was asked to be the speaker of the class? Me. No one ever heard of Barack. And 5 years ago, nobody even knew who he was. The guy who writes the class notes, who's kind of the, as we say in New York, the matcha, who knows everybody, has yet to find a person, a human, who ever met him. Dude, not to change the subject, but why did you feel it was necessary to clarify that a person was a human? Are the people you are writing to that dumb? Well, dude, I guess you just answered that, didn't you? Dude continues, Obama's photograph does not appear in the school's yearbook. Neither does mine, dude. So what? And then he asks, and Obama consistently declines requests to talk about his years at Columbia, provide school records, or provide the name of any former classmates or friends while at Columbia. How can this be? Dude, if I could hazard a guess, it might be because he has even less tolerance for morons than I do. And now to add credibility to the email, he puts a note in. Wayne Allen Root can be easily verified. Dude, who cares? The fact that he claims he didn't know or can't remember someone means little to rational people. But to irrational crazies like you, it makes your little world go around, doesn't it? Now he continues talking about Root. He graduated valedictorian from his high school, Thornton Donovan School, then graduated from Columbia University in 1983 as a political science major in the same 1983 class in which Barack Obama states he was. Dude, remember that link I gave you earlier, the one to Columbia University? Well, try this. Go back to that webpage and click Edit, then select Find on this page. When you type in Obama, it will verify that he was a graduate. Now, dude, type in Root. Type it in until your fingers turn blue. Guess what? That's right. Now he continues. Some other interesting questions. Dude, so you think those were interesting questions? You must be one wild and exciting guy to have around at a party. His first question, why was Obama's law license inactivated in 2002? Dude, if you weren't such a lazy ass, you'd find out for yourself instead of asking your wacky friends to do it for you. Next question. Why was Michelle's law license inactivated by court order? Gee, dude, I don't know. Maybe it had something to do with those 10 years she spent in prison for firebombing a Christian church. Dude, you bought it, didn't you? I just gave you the subject for your next email. Now, he claims, according to the U.S. Census, there is only one Barack Obama, but 27 Social Security numbers and over 80 aliases. Dude, you think that's bad? You should look up the name Lopez. And now he types, what? Exclamation point, question mark. Dude, you don't need to follow an exclamation point with a question mark. It doesn't add credibility. It only tells everyone that you should go back to tweeting on Twitter where you belong. Now he says, the Social Security number he uses now originated in Connecticut, where he is never reported to have lived. Well, dude, I'll admit that's better than the other group of asylum rejects who claim that it originated in Costa Rica. That's gotta hurt when yucks are actually out-crazied by some other group of crazies. Now he exclaims, no wonder all his records are sealed. Dude, I don't wonder about it at all because I actually have a life. He said, please continue sending this out to everyone. Dude, see what I mean about getting a life? Now he says, somewhere, someone had to know him in school before he reorganized Chicago and burst upon the scene at the 2004 Democratic Convention and made us swoon with his charm, poise, and speaking pizzazz. Dude, you don't sound like someone who swooned over his charm. You sound more like someone who escaped from a padded room with a bunch of his friends. Now he adds, one of the biggest cons this country has ever seen, and getting away with it. Dude, many things qualify as the biggest cons this country has ever seen. Rational people, don't worry, it doesn't sound like you've ever met one, wouldn't waste their time on something as silly as this. And then he concludes by exclaiming, this is scary on many levels. Dude, even Jerry Springer guests are rolling on the floor in hysterics, trying to catch their breath. Even the sex-crazed midget with no legs and chrome nipple rings is shaking his head in disbelief after realizing that you people are for real. Dude, I hate to be repetitive, but get some help. And now we move to the science segment. Today's story, biologists replicate key evolutionary step. More than 500 million years ago, single-cell organisms began forming multicellular clusters that ultimately became plants and animals. Just how that happened is a question that has eluded evolutionary biologists. And I'd like to interrupt this article for just a second to say that I think it was way more than 500 million years ago. But I don't know that there's a consensus on when that leap actually occurred. So, leaving that aside, since we can't really nail it down for sure, let's get back to the article. But scientists have replicated that key step in the laboratory using natural selection and common brewer's yeast, which are single-cell organisms. The yeast evolved into multicellular clusters that work together cooperatively, reproduce and adapt to their environment, in essence, precursors to life on Earth as it is today. Using yeast cells, culture media, and a centrifuge, it only took scientists one experiment conducted over about 60 days. To understand why the world is full of plants and animals, including humans, we need to know how one-celled organisms made the switch to living as a group, as multi-celled organisms. This study is the first to experimentally observe that transition, providing a look at an event that took place hundreds of millions of years ago. And interrupting again, as I mentioned earlier, there are some theories that put it at a couple of billion years ago. But we'll just have to wait to see how the evidence plays out on that one. Continuing, in essence, here's how the experiment worked. Researchers chose brewer's yeast, a species of yeast used since ancient times to make bread and beer, because it is abundant in nature and grows easily. They added it to a nutrient-rich culture media and allowed the cells to grow for a day in test tubes. Then they used a centrifuge to stratify the contents by weight. As the mixture settled, cell clusters landed on the bottom of the tubes faster because they are heavier. They removed the clusters, transferred them to fresh media, and grew them again. 60 cycles later, the clusters, now hundreds of cells, looked roughly like spherical snowflakes. Analysis showed that the clusters were not just groups of random cells that adhered to each other, but related cells that remain attached following cell division. That was significant because it meant they were genetically similar, which promotes cooperation. When the clusters reached a critical size, some cells essentially committed suicide to allow offspring to separate. The offspring reproduced only after they attained the size of their parents. The cluster alone isn't multicellular, but when cells in a cluster cooperate, make sacrifices for the common good, and adapt to change, that's an evolutionary transition to multicellularity. In order for multicellular organisms to form, most cells need to sacrifice their ability to reproduce, an altruistic action that favors the whole, but not the individual. For example, all cells in the human body are essentially a support system that allows sperm and eggs to pass DNA along to the next generation. Thus, multicellularity is by its nature extremely cooperative. Evolutionary biologists have estimated that multicellularity evolved independently in about 25 groups. The next steps will be to look at the role of multicellularity in cancer, aging, and other critical areas of biology. Multicellular yeast are a valuable resource for investigating a wide variety of medically and biologically important topics. Cancer was recently described as a fossil from the origin of multicellularity, which can be directly investigated with the yeast system. Similarly, the origins of aging development and the evolution of complex morphologies are open to direct experimental investigation that would otherwise be difficult or impossible. And for the final segment of the show, famous quotes. Today, Ferdinand Magellan, born about 1480, died in 1521 at the age of 41. Magellan was a Portuguese explorer. He served King Charles I of Spain in search of a westward route to the Spice Islands, which today are known as the Maluku Islands in Indonesia. Magellan's expedition from 1519 to 1522 became the first expedition to sail from the Atlantic Ocean into the Pacific Ocean, the passage being made via the Strait of Magellan, and the first to cross the Pacific. It also completed the first circumnavigation of the Earth, although Magellan himself did not complete the entire voyage, being killed during the Battle of Mactan in the Philippines. And now for the quote from Ferdinand Magellan. The church says the earth is flat, but I know that it is round. For I have seen the shadow on the moon, and I have more faith in a shadow than in the church.
Are you ready, Bruce?